not formatting error. This one is artistic design. Yeah, cannot take it anymore. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Recently, a new believer friend got into trouble at work. She was running late for an event and was rushing to the car park with her co-workers. In their haste, one of them led the group to take a shortcut which involves trespassing a restricted area in their company building. They were caught by security. Excuses were made. Names were recorded. The next day, they were informed that they will be called up for investigations interview. Everyone is sitting on the edge, dreading the day. Their company policy on this is quite clear. Those who trespass will be subject to termination. You should know that this company has a track record of asking employees to leave with immediate effect for violating rules and regulations. So this is a very serious matter. As you can imagine, my friend is reasonably distraught. When she told me about it, I became very worried for her too. How scary it is to potentially lose your job the next day. How frustrating it is to end your career over a bad split-second decision. Fellow Christians have been asked to pray for them. But how should we pray for a situation like this? Can prayer help with all the complex emotions we feel while waiting for an outcome? And as we wait for an indefinite period of time, what comfort do we have from the Word of God? When it comes to the topic of prayer, there is no better place to look than the book of Psalms. The Psalter is, after all, the prayer book of the church. And Psalm 13 shows us that we can lament to the Lord while waiting in suffering. What is a lament? To lament is to express deep sorrow, grief, regret. At least one-third of the book of Psalms are laments. God, the Holy Spirit, inspired lament psalms to give voice to human struggles and the accompanying pain and agony. We are given templates to express raw emotions before God, which means God expects his people to lament to him. I mean, if God doesn't want our raw emotions, what outlet do we have? Some people turn to inordinate pleasures, such as vaping, sex, and alcohol. Others turn to self-inflicted pain, such as pulling their hair, hitting their head, or cutting themselves to find release. These are all unhealthy ways of dealing with intense negative emotions. Fortunately, our God does want to share our angst, and he offers lamenting as a healthy way to deal with our emotions. Now, there are several elements common to lament psalms which we can learn to include in our own prayers. Different scholars may do it differently, but I use the list from my Old Testament lecturer, Dr. Maggie Lowe. She says it's complaints, call for help, confession of sin or contention of innocence. You can curse your enemies, have confidence in God, and celebration. Now, not all elements are found in every lament psalm, but I think a lament psalm must minimally have at least a complaint or a call for help. Today, we'll look at four elements which are present in Psalm 13, and these are complaints to God, call to God for help, confidence in God, and celebration. First, a lament may contain complaints to God, verses 1 to 2. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Now, we do not know what exactly the psalmist David was going through at the time he wrote this. One guess is David could be up against Saul. If you remember, David was anointed the next king of Israel when Saul was still in power. David spends the next 14 to 15 years hiding and running away from a jealous and murderous Saul. This would certainly have been a time when David felt that the Lord had forgotten him. You sabo me, you know, you anoint me king and then you let me wait for 14 years. You know. Alternatively, it could have been composed when David was up against his son Absalom. If you remember, Absalom had won over the people of Israel and staged a coup against his father. David was forced to escape from Jerusalem. And while on the run, he encountered this guy called Shimei, who cursed him and threw stones at him. Why? Because Shimei was a supporter of Saul, and so he laughed at David's downfall. Or be quick, huh? Without any certainty as to how things would play out, you can imagine David, in hiding, lamented his predicament and wrote this psalm. Whether David was on the run from Saul or Absalom or some other enemy, we know from the text that he was in agony. His anguish and impatience come through emphatically in the four times he asks, "How long?" He is at his limit. He can't take it anymore. Therefore, he launches his complaints. He complained about his enemies, how they have the upper hand and are gloating over his misfortune. He complained about his pain, how he's worrying every waking moment, how miserable he feels the whole day. He even complains about God, how God seems to have forgotten him, seems to be withholding help from him, because God has not been answering his prayers. And so we learn that in a lament, we may complain to God about our enemies, ourselves, and God. Some people may be thinking it's blasphemous to complain about God, or that it is wrong to even complain to God. Yesterday, I was on the way home with a Saturday service member, and she was saying, "Yeah, actually, I was wondering the same question, you know. Can I actually complain to God that he never helped me?" Yeah. I mean, after all, the Bible did tell us to rejoice in the Lord always. So is it okay to complain to God? How many of you complain to God? Be honest. Hallelujah. Okay. No, Dr. Maggie Lowe taught us that true spirituality is being honest with God, even with raw pain and anger. True spirituality is being honest with God, even with raw pain and anger. Pious men like David and Job have complained to God about God. We've heard David. Let us hear from Job. "For God crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not let me get my breath, but fills me with bitterness." And Jesus himself is famous for complaining. My God, why have you forsaken me?" That's why I believe that lamenting and rejoicing do not contradict each other. Humbly lamenting that we are powerless over our miserable lives can lead to even greater rejoicing over the hope that we have in the Almighty. Therefore, if you're waiting in suffering, like my troubled friend, when we can't stand it anymore, we can complain to God. For example, my friend can complain to God about her anger with her co-worker who knowingly led them astray, and her disappointment with the whole group for running late in the first place. She can complain to God about her personal failure to turn around when she knew that it was wrong, how stupid she feels about it. She can even complain that God did not lead her away from temptation, nor protect her from trouble. But our lament must not stop at complaints. We must call to God for help next. And so David continues in verses 3 to 4. "Consider and answer me, O Lord. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice, because I am shaken." The double plea of "consider and answer me" conveys David's desperation for God's intervention. The Hebrew word for "consider" literally means to look, to cast your gaze upon. Now, since God appears to have hidden his face from David, David is pleading with the Lord to turn his face towards him once more, to show him favor, to bless him again. David then goes on to explain why he needs God's help. He laments that he is close to dying. There is no health in him. If God does not help him, his enemies are going to overcome him, and they will take great pleasure over his downfall. The point of saying all this is to stir God's compassion and move him to action. We observe that David didn't specify the help that he wants from God. If we think about it, what should he be asking for if he's up against his king or his son? In the case of Saul, should he ask God to kill the king and give him the kingdom already? That doesn't sound like what a man after God's own heart would pray for. In the case of Absalom, can he bear to ask for the death of his own son? Although Absalom was rebellious, David still loved him. Both situations are tricky, aren't they? This is perhaps why David didn't ask for any specific help, but decided to leave it all to God. There is an implicit trust in God's wisdom to work things out for him. Indeed, sometimes we've got to admit that we don't know what to pray for. We don't know what's the best way forward. In my friend's case, to pray that they will be let off unscathed seems contrary to God's justice. The fact of the matter is they have knowingly done wrong. Yet, we don't want them to lose their job over something like this. The best way to call for help in such tricky situations is to humble ourselves and be honest about our problems and our fears. So my friend can tell God that if he doesn't help them, they're going to get fired. All their dreams and hope for their work and families are going to be severely disrupted. They may even find themselves in financial difficulty because of sudden unemployment. And after calling to God for help, she can rest in the trust that God knows how best to help them. Finally, we should end our laments with confidence in God and celebration. Verses 5 to 6. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Here, David declares his confidence in the Lord on the basis of how God has saved him in the past. If you know David's history, you remember that God has delivered David from bears and lions, even giants. Since God's love for us is unchanging, David firmly believes that God will continue to deliver him from his enemies. Therefore, he vows that he shall rejoice in the Lord when that happens. And in fact, he starts celebrating already. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Now notice, as David switched from talking about his troubles to talking about God, his mood brightens up. To be sure, there is still sorrow in his heart. But the joy of the Lord fills him as he remembers God's steadfast love towards him. His mind is still filled with worries, but thinking of God's goodness stops that endless rumination. No wonder the hymn sings, God is our best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, his presence our light. Where can my new believer friend find confidence in God? As a new believer, she doesn't have much history with God. She has not experienced so much of God's steadfast love, as it were. What can be the basis for her confidence? What about you? Where do you find confidence that God will help you in your time of need? May I suggest to you that regardless of how little or how much experience we may have with God's goodness, we can always fall back on the one thing that surpasses everything, our salvation in Jesus Christ. If, when we were still sinners, Christ died for us on the cross to save us from the penalty of our sins and to give us eternal life, How much more will Christ help us now that we are children of God? You know, salvation is not only to a blessed eternity on the other side of, in heaven. Yeah, it is also about abundance living on earth. He wants to prosper us. He wants to deliver us from our pains and troubles. That is the essence of Christianity. Not only the afterlife, but in this life also, abundant living. So he will help us, because we are children of God. And truly we can have every confidence that God hears our complaints and our call for help, because we pray in Jesus' name. Because of Jesus, God will turn his face towards us again, and God will surely come to our aid. Because of Jesus, we can rejoice in the face of adversity. Because of Jesus, we can sing in the valley of death. Sorry, don't have tissue here. Yeah. Sometimes it's not that that God doesn't turn his face towards us. Sometimes in our troubles, we turn away from him. We close our eyes to him. But my friends, I want to assure you today, he's always there for you. He's always there. His Holy Spirit is in you. Thank you. Yeah, so Sarah says, the church is with you too. Hallelujah. The church is with you too. Hug, no need. So in our times of adversity, turn back to God. Open your eyes. He's always there. Hold on to him. Do not despair. Allow me to conclude. You know, when we pray, God answers us in one of three ways. Yes, no, wait. Sometimes wait can be worse than no, because we don't know what to do when waiting. We don't know how to pray when God doesn't respond. We suffer because of that. Psalm 13 teaches us today that we can lament to the Lord while waiting in suffering. Therefore, when you can't take it anymore, lament as many times as you want. Remember that you can always complain to God, call to him for help, with every confidence that he does hear you for the sake of Jesus Christ. As a closure to my friend's case, the last we hear is that she was let off with a verbal warning. Oh, now we can all agree that this is a just and merciful outcome. Thanks be to God for hearing our prayers. I've come to the end of my sermon. This is a short one. So Hingley was saying, what if we can't take your sermon anymore? We can walk out. Yeah, it's a short one. Done already. It was short because we needed to rush home to watch National Day Parade yesterday. Yeah. But before we go off, because then later Pastor will say, why so short? Can I suggest that we use the remaining time to try lamenting to the Lord about something in your life? Can be about a nasty neighbor, an enemy at work, a wayward child. Can be about a chronic condition, a permanent illness, or an uncertain situation. It may even be something or someone that you've stopped praying because you've given up. And what's the point of praying? Yeah. But we can lament. We can always lament. And so now I suggest that we can do this either individually or in twos or threes. But I'm afraid that you use all the time complaining only. So, because this is the favorite pastime Singaporean, right? Yeah. So I have an outline here of what we've just learned. Yeah. So just follow this outline, please. If you have more things to say, by all means, but please cover all the 4 points. Dear Jesus, I want to complain to you about God. If you don't help me, what about God? He has not been answering my phone calls. If you don't help me, I fear that I will lose my faith. But I trust in you because you died for me on the cross. And I will thank you by praising you in church next Sunday. Something like this. Can I simple? All right. I gave them 5 minutes, but it can be shorter. Huh? Yeah. So let us pray, and I will close us later. Let's close in prayer. Mighty God, we thank you that you are a great God and nothing is too hard for you. Indeed, you are big enough to take all our sorrow, grief, regrets, and anger without being weighed down by the intensity of it all. Indeed, every tear you also take it to yourself. Father, we know that you understand how we feel because you sent your Son who came in the flesh and live among us. You know our weaknesses. You know our struggles. You know our pain. Moreover, you are able to help us. In your wisdom, you know what is the best way forward for us. And so, Lord, we cry out to you today. Behold, Lord, your people are hurting. Behold, Lord, your people are suffering. The things that they cannot say to other people, but is still very real in their lives. Lord, you know, each and every one of them, what they're going through. We ask, Father, that you come and help us. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy upon us. Do not leave us where we are. Do not ignore us. Answer us. Bring us to a better place. Speak to us, give us a word to hold on, to cling on to, Lord. Turn your face upon us once more. Open our eyes to see you once again. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. But we trust in your steadfast love and mercy, which you have shown us through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone sitting here, Christians for a long time, they can testify to your goodness, the things that you have done for us, Lord, how you delivered us from our own troubles, from our own medical conditions, how you saved us. We know that you are a good God. We believe, therefore, we will come out of our troubles and we shall rejoice before you, proclaiming to the world that our God is so great. You are so great, Lord. So we thank you, Father, and pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, Amen.